Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Infinite Weekly, where we got gaming reviews, we got discussions, we got rants, laughs, we got it all. And today, man, today I'm skipping this whole intro. We got Mairu Gathri back on the show again. You're the co-host now. It's over. It's over. That's it. And yo, you guys knew this was coming. We did a podcast episode not too long ago on the topic of Resident Evil. We had a great time doing that episode. If you guys haven't checked that episode out yet, please feel free to go back to it. It was a great time, great discussions, all about all the Resident Evil games. But today, today, what are we talking about today, man?
Today is a special day, ladies and gentlemen. It's so special that, to be quite honest with you, even Jesus Christ is looking at us like, yo, man. Infinite Lives and Games is doing big things right now.
Oh, we doing
I have to be
things.
On the lookout.
Ooh, let's
today,
get it.
We talking about Resident Evil. We're definitely talking about Resident Evil, but it's not the kind that you're thinking about.
Oh, my God.
You don't got to plug in no controller to talk about this one. Ain't no button pressing for this one. We going to talk about 2021.
Ooh.
Came out just last month.
Just
Resident
last month.
Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City.
Oof. We got a lot to say.
My goodness. We going to talk about that movie.
Oh, we going to talk.
You know, spoiler alert, that movie was quite possibly the worst movie I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Oh, my. I don't even know where to start, bro.
I'll start it off for you. First things first. In the beginning of the movie, why is Claire hitchhiking a ride with the fucking trucker?
Oh, my God.
Where did they get that idea? That shit was already rubbing my gears. I'm like, excuse me. The trucker is supposed to be driving by himself.
I think we should do? We should go from scene to scene. Because, like, that's a great point. Already. Right, you're already kind of getting your gears like grinded. You're like, wait, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, it starts off in this. And look, here's the biggest defense that I'm gonna give this movie and probably a lot of video game movies, right? Is that you tell stories, right? You can always, I give people chances to tell their version of the stories. You could do whatever.
That's a fact.
You have creativity to do and act and put out on a show that suits your mind and like tell it in a different way. But what they did here is they kind of just, I feel like they looked at top 10 facts of Resident Evil and just started plucking them in there. Like, oh yeah, we got to include that. We got to include that.
Literally and, just mix matching. You know how you get an exam right at school and they'd be like, yo, take this and match it with that. They just be like, oh, okay. So they took Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 1, and they had 10 random events. They just started fucking dragging and dropping the fucking events.
Just throwing it on
the
wall.
Into the fucking section to the movie, bro. There was no cohesion.
At all.
Oh, my God. No, that shit was so... All right. So first things first, right? Claire is hitchhiking with the trucker. Already a red flag. Why the fuck is she doing that? She never even met this nigga in the game.
No connection.
Nobody.
So they run over this little girl, right? And you know what the funny thing is? And that's another thing. Oh, my God. That's another thing about this movie is that I don't even feel like the zombies were, like, zombies. They was just people. I don't know, man. So she gets up.
You know what?
Walks into the forest, and then the dog starts eating the blood or whatever, which was, you know, like, at that scene, like, I get it. That's in a way to introduce it, like, hey, this dog is going to carry him into the city, and he's going to start biting people. I get it. Cool, whatever,
right.
Whatever. So they get into the city, right, and here's another thing that I noticed about it. And they set the precedence when they started. They said people have been leaving the city, or rather, the city has just been quiet. Like, there's literally nobody in the streets anywhere. It's a dying city. That's what they made it seem, right?
It's a fucking ghost town.
Yeah, and I'm like, damn, like, okay, you know, they're setting it up. Like, everybody's turning into zombies and whatnot. But I feel like there was such a lack of, like, zombies in this movie. Did you feel that way?
Okay, in terms of the zombies, bro, there's certain zombies that are supposed to have identity. So
right.
I don't think that there was a lack of zombies, but I think there was a lack of identity with the zombies. So, you know, like, you know a specific zombie, you see a specific zombie, and you know, oh, I know who the fuck this is. You know, I didn't get none of that. Yeah, they could have definitely used...
like, more oomph with them, more character with them, right?
Yeah, they could have. They could have. But for the most part, you know why I'm going to let that go? Mm. Because Resident Evil 1 and 2, they're the earliest Resident Evil games.
Right, right.
So the zombies aren't as developed. Right. And this is the early game. So, you know, they don't really do much with the...
Yeah. Oh, man. But you know. It's like throughout the movie, like... there was a couple cool scenes with zombies in it when they were in the mansion. I mean, I know I'm getting off topic, like I'm going all over the place, but sticking to the idea of zombies, I just felt like there just wasn't enough presence from the zombies. That's my thing. That's my thing.
I will say that one scene that I fucked with was when I forgot. I know it was it Chris or was it Jill?
Like in the house?
Chris. It's Jill, Richard, Wesker.
I don't even know if that was Richard or not.
Fucking Richard. Dude, what? Where's Barry?
Oh my God, where's Barry?
What the fuck? Like, Richard, Richard's supposed to be with Rebecca. But the scene in question that you're talking about, I did like. That's the scene where, you know, you go in the mansion with either Jill or Chris.
Yeah.
And you go through the door. So you go past the dining hall and you go to the door on the right. And then you see the zombies feasting on him. And then the zombie turns his head and you see the gore and the blood dripping from his mouth. Yeah. That scene that they did in the movie was good. I liked it. I was like, ooh, I remember this shit.
Yeah.
But you know why? Because that zombie had identity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I know.
Because you felt the presence. You felt like, oh, that's a scene. That's a thing. That's a person.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
I like another scene from that house too, though. You know, Chris is like shooting in the dark, and the only way he can see is if he's like shooting, and I felt that was like intense. I was like, that was a tense moment with zombies, because it's like, oh my, is he about to be eaten alive? Like he's fighting them off, but he can only see while he's shooting. You get what I'm saying? So I thought that was a cool scene with the zombies.
He has to flick the lighter to get light.
I thought that was good too. Yeah, we're gonna get into all the little signals that they gave us with all the things from the games, like the lighter. Oh my god,
the lighter. Because like, one thing about Chris, like you said, Chris was in the dark fighting those zombies. I did not appreciate how these niggas was not carrying no damn SMGs in the game.
Oh, bro.
You know Resident Evil loves to romanticize the handgun.
Yeah, like nobody had a handgun in it. Well, he did have a handgun, didn't he? When he was fighting them all?
Leon did. Leon had the handgun.
Oh, my God. I can't believe.
Oh, my God.
What they did with Leon. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God.
But let's continue. Hold on. So they get to Chris's house, right? You were saying.
Yes, with Claire. Okay, so, you know, after fucking the trucker kills the little girl, Claire gets back in the car, the truck with the trucker. And then I guess he drops her off, and she winds up finding her way to Chris's house. Mm-hmm. She picks the lock to Chris's house. But, hey, Claire, mind you, Claire didn't use a lockpick.
No, she didn't.
To Jimmy the lock. She just took a knife and, like, just shoved it in there and it got the door open.
Like, oh, okay.
Whatever, okay. Apparently, it's that easy. If your name is Claire Redfield. She gets in the house, right?
Yeah.
She goes, and she's looking at some pictures, and you see Claire, you see Chris, and you see Jill. Like, I think they're, like, in high school or something like that. Excuse me? Excuse me? Like, what? They made it seem like these niggas grew up in Raccoon City. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Victor. I could be wrong on this. But did they actually grow up in Raccoon City?
Here's the thing. Claire never grew up in Raccoon City at all. Chris? No. No, they didn't. They never expand on that storyline. Like, yes, it was their home because they worked there. But they never really established that they lived there and grew up there their whole lives. Now, Claire, on the other hand...
Exactly.
Claire, on the other hand... came, like, she had nothing to do with Raccoon City. She never grew up in Raccoon City, nothing. She came looking for Chris after he hadn't returned calls for, like, months. That's the original story. That's as far back as they go. Now, it could be that Chris was there for a while, but Claire never, ever was there. But continue.
Right. So, you know, this goes back to what you were saying earlier about how you like to give creators, like, their freedom to do what they want.
Right.
With the story and tell it in their own way.
Right.
So I, it kind of bothered me. Now, maybe it didn't bother you, but it bothered me that they made it seem like that they grew up in Raccoon City, because there was high school pictures and Claire whispers to herself while she's looking at the picture. She's like, "Ah, Chris, you know, you're still pining for Jill. It's not going to happen, dude." In the back of my head, I'm like, "Excuse me, bitch. What the fuck are you talking about? Bill and Chris are the one true pairing. Don't you dare.
They're partners. That's who they are. Like, they just, oh,
exactly.
My. Oh, my
And she
God.
Made it seem like, oh, yeah, Chris is
like,
just
he's gunning
got
for
a
her.
Hopeless crush on Jill.
What?
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my God.
That is not what happened, bro.
At all.
Is not what happened. All right, they are co-workers, glorified co-workers. They've been through thick and thin together.
Through all of it.
You know what I'm saying? So fuck out my face, right? But anyway, she's looking at the pictures, and then in comes Chris. Chris comes walking down the stairs, and Claire puts on a football helmet, right? There was like a helmet sitting by the picture. She puts on the helmet, right? Like real goofy move there, but she puts on the helmet, and, you know, she's just sitting there looking at the pictures. Chris comes down the stairs, shoots a look at her, and he's like, "Man, what the fuck are you doing here?" Right? Literally, like, that's not what he says, but that's basically his demeanor.
Yeah, he's like, what's
oh,
going on?
Oh, shit. So there's a strain in their relationship.
Yeah.
They're orphans.
Right.
And Claire runs away from the orphanage and leaves Chris. So Chris kind of holds a grudge on her for that.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, that was interesting.
Yeah, I like that because in the games, like, as far as they go, Chris lost contact with Claire, and Claire got worried. And back in the 1990s or whatever, you didn't have the internet, so you had to go look for somebody, you know? Ryan hasn't my brother contacted me in, like, months, years. So she went to Raccoon City. That's as far back as any history goes with Claire and Chris. Now, I like the fact that they made it seem as if, like, okay, well, they don't really have a backstory. Let's give them the backstory that they're orphanage and that, you know, they lost their parents. So I was like, I could get behind that. Because they never really talk about their family or whatever. It was just Claire and Chris and that's it. I was like, okay, maybe that's an interesting take. I never really thought about it that way, that they were probably just orphans. Here's the thing that really just started, like, oh my.
I think I know what you're going to say, bro. Go on. I think I know what you're going to say.
That William Birkin is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is where I'm like. Are you kidding me right now? Like,
yo, bro.
That's a whole first part of the movie. I totally forgot about that scene, too. I mean, I could have just forgotten the whole movie. But the movie starts off with them in the orphanage. And William Birkin is, you know, she's like seeing things at night or whatever. And then apparently they grow up with him. And William Birkin is like their father figure or whatever. Well, at least Chris's father figure, because Claire ran away.
Claire ran away. I did not like that.
I
didn't like that. And you know why I didn't like that? Because William is not a father figure to anybody but Sherry.
Oh, my
Sherry.
God.
Sherry, hello. Like, are we forgetting?
Like, Sherry was in the movie, right? Like, there was, like, a little girl.
Yeah, she was. She actually was in the movie. And first of all, like, they weren't scientists. William and Annette. Annette
no.
was not a scientist.
Actually,
it seemed like Annette was just a regular lady, like a regular housewife.
Like in the movie, right? It was just like, she's just like,
yeah,
a mother. That's it. Like, that was her only role.
Just a mom. It's the mom. And then, like, you know, oh, well, I'm skipping ahead because we're talking about the Birkins here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the scene where they go downstairs into, like, this basement and, like, you see William is kind of, like, tampering with one of the zombies.
Right.
Like, dissecting it.
Yeah.
And then Annette is like, William, what are you
what
doing?
Are you
And I'm like, bitch, you should know what he's doing. You work in the same lab as this nigga. Excuse me.
Like, oh, my God. I was like, what?
That communicated to me that, okay, she must not be a scientist in this movie.
At all.
She must just be, like, a regular-ass housewife.
That's all she was.
I did not Like, dude, Annette is supposed to be that cold, calculating scientist woman. Mm-hmm. It's a trope you see all the time.
Yep.
She had none of that. She was all sensitive and emotional. Like, no, that is not Annette's character.
Exactly. Like, she was fighting for her man. It's like, no, you're not going to take his work. Like, I'm going to stand up for my man's work.
Okay, and there was another call out with William, right? So they completely abandoned Annette's previous occupation in the game.
Right, totally.
But they took William and they were like, hey, you know, they're not going to steal my life's work. They're not going to steal my life's work. They kept saying that shit. Said that shit like three times.
Oh, my God. Yo.
They keep on calling out to the fucking... the cassette tapes in the RE2.
Yeah.
Where they're like, this is my life's work. And he's like talking to the fucking alpha team.
Yeah, when they come in.
This is my life's work. Yeah, and they pull up on him and then they just got shoot the assault rifles. Yeah.
Oh my God. And it's funny.
That shit was crazy.
Because then Claire gets on and she starts playing this cassette tape.
Yeah, and it's fucking Ben. Yeah, she's like talking to Chris about like, you know, just crazy shit that's
what's
going
been
on
going
around
on.
City.
Yeah,
and then Chris is like, "Yeah, listen, that guy's fucking crazy." And it's fucking Ben.
Ben.
And it's like the Ben that what is it? Ada.
That,
who was
Ada and Leon see in the jail cell.
In the jail cell. No, it was Ben who was interviewing Annette.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He got the information, yeah.
Exactly. But Ada took it because she was trying to get information from that cassette that Ben was supposed to coerce out of Annette.
Yep.
But it didn't happen that way. Annette stiffened up on him and that was that.
Yep.
But yeah, so go on.
No, Ben in the games is like this stand-up guy, right? So you have this weird just like, you know, parents' basement looking motherfucker with glasses talking about, oh, you know, they've been doing crazy shit with the people in town. And, you know, I'm like,
this
isn't the character. This is,
bro, he looked like a fucking incel, like, that ass.
You know, and again, they're telling their own story, right? I can give it to them. They wanted to make this character like, oh, you know, he's a conspiracy theory guy. Because there's a lot of those.
Yes.
I was like, you know what? I could pass that. But it's just like that character is just it was terrible. Terrible character.
It was some fucking basement dwelling rat sniffing ass nigga, bro. Like, this nigga just drinks rat poison all day.
It's like, you know, like, he practically looked like a rat.
Son, that shit was not cool, bro. Oh. That shit was not cool. Like, as soon as they played that cassette tape, and I saw Ben at the back of my head, I'm like, wait. They're not talking about
that Ben,
are they? The Ben. I'm like, oh, nah. Get the fuck out of here, bro.
Oh, my God.
That was disgusting.
So,
like,
so continuing on, right? So then Claire, you know, she's like, oh, something's been happening here. And Chris is like, nah, you know, you just take money. You need money. I got to go to work, right? So he ends up like leaving. He's like, don't touch the bike. It starts, it's like heavily raining outside. And there's a scene she's like, oh, how come you haven't been infected? Like, how come you're not feeling type of way? And she's like tasting the water. I think she goes into like the kitchen, starts messing with the water. You remember that?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah,
she's
I remember
like,
that. She's vaguely. Like, oh. I remember that.
Yeah,
vaguely.
She's like, oh, why aren't you infected? Why aren't you feeling the way? So in the very next scene, right, you have like your first zombie, right? With the child.
The child and like the mom?
And the mom,
or something?
Yeah. You kind of have like the first introduction, like you see this, they're going crazy, they're turning into zombies. And here's another thing. I don't know if you remember this, but it's when you pick up an entry in the original Resident Evil, in the remake or whatever, and the guy is writing in the diary about like how he's going crazy, and then he writes itchy, tasty. You remember that?
Yeah, yes.
You know,
yes.
And so
I didn't know what that was. Like the lady, right? She had blood on her fingers and she kind of like etched it into the window.
Exactly.
With the blood on her fingers.
So that's another one.
I didn't know what the fuck that was.
So that's from a diary entry in the remake, in the first Resident Evil. There's a guy like slowly changing and he doesn't realize it. until like that's all he can write. Like he's barely writing anymore, and that's what he writes. He writes itchy, tasty, and like that's a good callback. She like put it on the window or whatever it was, and then she like breaks through, and she keeps saying it. She's like itchy, tasty, scratches you like all over Claire. And I'm just like ah.
That was weird though, because it wasn't even as clear cut as that. It was like she puts itchy, scratchy, tasty on the window, and yeah. Then she like turns around and just stands still, completely still for like a good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then a little kid runs in the house.
Yeah.
And he hides under the bed. And then he's like, Claire goes, she's like, hey, do you need help? And then the kid's like, no, you need help. And I'm like, that was a callback. I think that was a callback. Because remember, right before you fight the first Birkin, phase one of Birkin, Claire tries to move the cabinet out of the way, but she can't. And then Sherry is there. And she's and then Claire's like, hey, take my hand. Do you need some help?
Right. Good one. I don't remember that one.
Sherry's like, Sherry's like, no,
Union. Oh, that's a good catch.
He's like, who's right there? And then that's where William's behind her. And he like hits her, and then they break the fucking scaffolding and they drop down.
And that's where you fight him.
That's what I thought of. Yeah, that's when you fight him. I thought of that. So when that little kid said to Claire, you need help. And then the fucking lady first through the class and then starts grabbing her. And I'm like, I thought that was kind of stupid, though, because she was riding itchy, scratchy, tasty on the window, and it didn't do shit afterwards. But then the kid comes, it's like, hey, you're going to need help. And then she bursts through the window.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of like, I think they were trying too hard there to try to call back to Resident Evil 2. You know what I'm saying?
But the funny thing is, like, I'm glad that you caught that one, because I didn't catch that one, because I caught because the itchy, tasty, scratchy is from Resident Evil 1, but then they put in another thing from Resident Evil 2. So I'm glad that you caught that. I'm glad that you mentioned that.
They tried too hard, and this goes back to what we were saying, bro. You get a fucking fucking exam question where you're mixing and matching different elements from the games. Like, we're gonna drag this over here, we're gonna drag that over here. Like, there's no cohesion
at all.
There's no cohesion
with the story, with the characters. Nothing.
Okay. You mentioned a very key word there, my brother. You said characters.
Whew.
So we're going scene by scene, but let's divulge a little bit and get into the characters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right? Absolutely.
We go, you get your first zombie with the little kid. Claire runs out, and she gets on the bike, and she drives away. Okay, so that's a callback to Claire. Because, in the start of Resident Evil 2, Claire's already on the motorcycle.
Yep.
Right? And she stops at a payphone. She's talking to her friend, like, hey, I'm not going to get in any trouble. I'm just going to go look for Chris. If I don't find him, I'll come back. Right? So, okay, cool. Claire, from there, she heads to the police station, Raccoon City Police Department. She goes there. And here's where my segue into characters goes. In the middle of all of this, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, we're only talking about Chris, Claire, and William Birkin and all that shit. We haven't gotten into Leon. We haven't gotten into Jill. We haven't gotten into Wesker. We haven't gotten into any of that. So here's the thing, guys. In the midst of Chris and Claire and William and Annette and Sherry, we have Leon, Jill. Yes, Leon and Jill, motherfucker. Not Leon and Claire. Leon and Jill. Jill, what the fuck? It's Leon and Jill? What the fuck is this?
In all of Resident Evil, they have never even met.
You've never seen Leon with Jill. What the fuck? Leon, Jill, Wesker.
They're in the diner, right?
In a bar. Yeah, they're like some bar. It's a bar, and Leon is sitting down. And you've got Jill, which, by the way,
oh my God. Well, first of all, hold on. I want to say she's a very attractive woman. That woman is very attractive.
Yes.
I think she's a fine ass woman.
Yo, she's attractive, but bro, I'm not gonna hold you. Yo, Leon was looking pretty suave, too.
Oh, my God.
It's too bad what they did with him. But we're going to get into that.
Yeah,
Jill is very attractive. And Claire, in terms of character design, I think Claire was the best.
Yeah, and the closest.
The best. The closest to Claire Redfield mm-hmm. was the actress that they chose to play Claire. 100%. Yeah. They got Claire down to... You know what? I think that they did Claire the best.
They probably... Well, because she's like the main character of this movie, so quote unquote.
Essentially, but I mean, Leon has a whole story in Resident Evil 2 as well. Yeah. But they fucked him over. Why? Why? You know, I'm going to tell you why they did it, Victor. All right, so we've got Leon. We've got Jill, we've got, I believe it's Wesker and some other dude.
That's another thing too, right? It's like, they didn't mention this. I think they did. I think it's Richard, but I know it's not Barry. It's definitely not Barry.
Like, no,
they
just Barry completely... is not in the movie, bro.
So it's definitely Richard, found. Whatever. But they made me not care about him, though. Like, it was just like just another guy. Like, I didn't care if it was Richard.
Yeah.
Oh my! Anyway,
like, yo, did this nigga even have any lines?
He was just there. He was just there.
Well, I don't remember shit. If Richard had lines, I certainly don't remember them shits. I don't remember none of that shit. All right, but anyway, so they're in the bar. And, like, they play a prank on Leon, right? I think Jill, she takes out her gun and she, like, shoots Leon in the head with some shit.
Yeah.
And he's asleep.
Yeah.
He's asleep.
Wesker put, like, a ketchup bottle on top of his head. Or something like
right.
that.
Right. Oh, they were God. Pranking him, right? Oh, making Leon, which off rip, we already see that Leon is the butt monkey of the movie.
It's just the butt now, of all jokes.
Why is he the butt monkey? The butt of all the jokes. Why, though?
Whose
I'll
idea?
I'll tell you why. No, what happened was the niggas in the studio, the director, the producer, they were like, listen, Leon's a rookie cop. Let's take that rookie cop trope and drag it through the fucking mud.
That's exactly
what
they did.
That's literally all they did. That is all they did. They completely undermined all the boss-ass shit that Leon did as a rookie on his first fucking day.
Everything that character stood for, everything, just nothing. They just threw it all out the window.
They threw it out the fucking window in favor of a rookie cop who really shouldn't even be a cop and is very timid, doesn't know how
to operate a gun. I'm like,
yo, they was in the armory, and he's like, oh, I think this shotgun is jammed. I'm like, what? That's awesome bullshit. That's bullshit, because guess what? In Resident Evil 2, this is a fucking shotgun, Victor. Who uses the shotgun? It's Leon, not Claire. Claire, you stupid A-launcher. What the fuck? Oh my God, bro.
Bro, you're so excited, bro. You're like cutting in and out. You're like,
oh my bad.
No, but it makes it's gonna make for some good content, bro.
Yo, son, they really gave Leon the shaft. The shotgun is jammed, and then Claire just takes it from him. Like, nigga, give me that.
Oh my! But why?
That's not your weapon.
Did they do that so that you could have some comedic effect in the movies? Is that what that was for? I just don't understand.
Leon was supposed to be comic relief, but there was nothing funny about it.
Nothing.
Like, you hit the nail on the head, bro. You said that it's fun for people who maybe don't know much about the game, played the game, but they heard of it. Because, you know, Resident Evil's everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for us, the fans of the game, especially the ones who played the remake of 2...
And 1.
We're not going to like that shit. And 1.
Truth be told.
We're not going to like that shit.
You know, and you know what the craziest part about this thing is? Is that they advertised it as if this is a present to all fans of Resident Evil. If you love Resident Evil, you're going to love this movie. That's how they were presenting it and vocalizing about the movie. Like, yo, you're going to love this movie. Truth be told, they literally just... spit in my face. They slapped me. They were like,
it was a big, you know what that was? That was a big nut kick and a cunt punt to all the male and female fans of Resident Evil, just, respectively.
I was
just
taken aback.
I
was literally sitting there like, what am I watching?
Did you watch it with your lady?
I didn't know. No, I went by myself. I was like, I'm gonna buy my ticket. I'm gonna sit here. And here's the thing. And I'm sure you probably went into the movie thinking the same thing. You was like, this movie is not going to be the movie. You're not like you're gonna, you know, like you already knew that. You already knew that like video game movies, they don't really capture the essence of video games. They don't really stick to the source material. They don't really give you that oomph. So I went in already thinking, all right, this movie is not gonna be that bad. Like I know it's gonna be bad, but it's not gonna be that bad. By the end of it, I was like, I didn't think it could get any worse. And they did it. they made it.
I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing. Fun fact about the movie real quick, you know, before we get back into the content, my nigga, I saw the movie, right? So first off, where did you see the movie? You were in Florida, right? So you just went to like just a
random AMC. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I also went to see the movie at an AMC, right? I had a guest readmit ticket from AMC.
Nice,
right?
Nice.
And I got it from months ago when I saw the Demon Slayer movie. There was like a big mishap with the movie, so they gave us that ticket as like compensation.
Oh, okay, right? Okay.
So anyway, I decided to use that to go see the movie, and I brought a friend along with me, my homeboy from middle school, you know, the first friend I ever made in middle school.
And all right, still shout out, to shout out. Day.
Shout out to my boy Doubter, man. Shout out to my nigga. Yeah. All right. But anyway, when we got to, I saw it at the Magic Johnson Theater on 125th Street, right by where you live, Victor, right by where you used to live.
All right, yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, bro. The whole movie was advertised as something that the Resident Evil fans would like, right?
Yep.
When I went to that movie, there was nobody else in that fucking auditorium. It was just me and my friend. So we was just chatting. We was just chatting, talking outside voices during that movie. Because nobody else was in there. It was nobody. Just us two.
It was the same thing for me. It was only like three other people in the theater, bro.
Okay, that's crazy, bro.
I'm telling you.
At least you had other people. If I had chose to go by myself, I would have been the only motherfucker in that theater.
Oh, my God. But here's another thing. Here's another thing about that, too. Is that I don't even think that it was a good movie. Like, it wasn't a good Resident Evil movie. And I don't even think, matter of fact, I don't even think it was a good zombie movie. And that's sad.
Oh, no. Bro, it was bad across the board. No, fuck Resident Evil. Fuck Resident Evil as a franchise. No. That shit was bad across the board. It was a bad movie, period. It was a bad experience, period. Everything about it was bad. If Resident Evil was not an established game franchise, and they just came out with a movie that said, Welcome to Raccoon City, Resident Evil.
I would be like...
It still would have been trash.
It's like, this is garbage. Like, what am I?
It still would have been trash.
Look, and let me tell you something. The story didn't even make sense. Like, from the story that I freaking gathered, because I was so pissed off about watching this movie, they were experimenting on kids to kind of get them to a certain state. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. And it was at the orphanage with right. William and
so,
Annette and all of them. Yeah.
They don't even really explain like what they're trying to do. They're just experimenting, but to do what? Like, maybe I missed it because I was so pissed off. Like, do you know what they were trying to do? Do they ever explain what they were trying to do?
When Annette asks William, what are you even doing down here? He's like, he answers God's work. Fucking Wesker pulls up and oh God, that's a whole nother fucking thing. Confusing thing. I don't understand that shit either.
Oh my
but
God.
Basically Wesker pulls up and he's like trying to steal the virus.
The information.
From
yeah.
Yeah. Look, I don't even know how Wesker eventually sifts into a bad guy because I never played Resident Evil 1 all the way through.
Right.
Maybe you could shed some light on that.
Look, Wesker was always bad. Okay, like in the games, if you played Resident Evil 0, it's explained that Wesker and William used to work for Umbrella, and then they saw the sinking ship that was Umbrella. So Wesker was like, yo, I'm gonna start working for this new organization. I'm gonna steal Umbrella's information. I'm gonna go to the mansion. I'm gonna gather the information, and I'm gonna sell it off. That's accurate. In the movie, Wesker was trying to steal the data. He was trying to steal the virus. That is somewhat accurate because Wesker was always bad. Now, the way that it happened and the way that they presented it in the movie, god awful dog shit. Okay.
Yeah, it was. I didn't really, to be honest with you, I didn't really understand it because you don't see Wesker doing anything behind the scenes. Wesker is always with Jill. with Jill, Richard, and Chris. Yeah. You don't really see Wesker separating from the group.
Exactly.
And, like, you know, maybe taking an inconspicuous phone call.
Right.
Like, hey, right. Yeah, I'm going to get it. Yeah,
I mean,
I'm
they did show that.
There was none of that.
They did show, actually, in the scene, there was a scene where they're all in the office. And the chief, Brian, he's yelling at Leon. Because he's like, oh, what the fuck are you doing here, Leon? Like,
my God. The way they was treating my nigga Leon,
Can we well, before we get to Leon. But so he did get like a beeper, like a message on his beeper or whatever it was, Wesker. He saw it on the desk.
Yeah.
And Jill was like, oh, what's that? And then they was like, oh there's something in your locker. Go check it out. And then, like, he's, like, using it to, like, map out the house or whatever. So he was kind of doing that, but they didn't really, like, expand on that. Because, again, in the original Resident Evil, Wesker's always behind the scene. You know, he disappears and does his things. Whereas in the movie, he was always with them. But they kind of tried to make it seem like he was doing something, but, like, it was only a couple of scenes. Man, I don't know. That shit was
trash. It wasn't enough for me to really like make that assumption on my own, assertion that Wesker is going dirty.
They almost wanted you to feel bad for Wesker. He was like, oh, I did this for the money, man. Like, I had to. And I'm just sitting there like, what?
That is so contrary to Wesker's personality. Wesker is cold and ruthless.
Calculated.
He's not some...
What? He's like, yo, bro, I had to do it. I'm sorry, Jill. Like a little dog. Like, he's like, oh, why'd you make me shoot her? Like, what?
The words, dude, sorry will never come out of Albert Wesker's mouth.
Oh, my God.
That word, sorry, excuse me, Wesker is literally like the coldest nigga on the fucking planet.
Because spoiler alert, like, he ends up like shooting Annette, right? And like at the end of the movie. Yeah, he shoots both of them. And then he's trying to kill Sherry. He's like, you know, don't make me do this, da da da. And I'm just, I mean, by that point in the movie, I was just numb.
You already psychologically checked out at that point.
God.
So when you ask me about the plot, it's like, I'm too busy trying to compare to what I know from the game that the movie's plot is just even more lost on me. But what's even more lost on me than the plot is the fact that, so Leon, he gets shitted on in the beginning, right? Then they get to the police station. Why is Jill, Chris, and Richard and all of them in the police station? Why are they in RPD? They were never in RPD.
Because from the beginning, they try to mesh the two together. Like, when they were putting out the movie, and there was like... They were like, oh, we're going to mesh the two movies together. So I thought what they were going to do is they were going to go back and forth between the time. Like, they would play some scenes from Resident Evil 2, and then they would go back and they would continue the story in the mansion, but they didn't do that. They literally meshed the two together.
Yeah, they juxtaposed it, and it was so... They were so contrary to one another because Leon is the butt monkey. He didn't fit in. He did not fit in. Like, there was already a clique being established between Chris, Jill, Wesker, and Richard. Richard, not Barry. For whatever reason, they decided to literally leave Barry out of the
movie. I guess he didn't stick on the wall, bro. Like, they were just throwing stuff like, Barry didn't make it. All right, next.
It's fucking stupid. Like, why would you? Richard is in Resident Evil 1 for 5 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Right? He's hurt. You get him the serum, and then the snake comes.
That's
and
it. Done
he
deal.
Helps you fight the snake, and he dies. That's it. That's literally it. Barry, meanwhile, I never beat.
But he's throughout the game. He's helping Jill throughout the game.
So
but,
that's just like a big giant blank spot for me.
Oh
but
my God.
That's and that same blank spot transpires with Leon. He is there, and he just gets shitted on. So. You go from the bar to the police station, and like you said, Chief Irons is like, Leon, what the fuck are you doing here? Because I think there's like a city alert. What's that? Like an emergency notice?
Yeah, there's like an emergency notice in the city. Oh, please stay in your homes, blah, blah, blah.
Right? That whole thing is going on. And nobody in RPD knows why that they're having this
why it's happening.
Emergency.
Yeah.
So then Chief Irons comes in and he starts yelling, right? Which I don't know if that's even Chief Irons' personality. I mean,
you know what?
He yells.
I'll give it to his character. That dude is kind of crazy. Like, there's some things throughout the universe, Resident Evil universe, that goes into detail about who the character was. Like, he yells at you. which they did a good job. I'm not going to lie. They did a good job with his character, but at the same time, he also worked for Umbrella. Where was that? Look, it literally seemed like, oh my God. And this is probably the worst scene in the movie. I don't know if you agree with this, but the truck driver, he runs into the front of the RPD and it explodes. And then the zombie just walks into the police station on fire.
Oh, yeah.
And there's music playing and Leon is sleeping in front of the...
Oh, my God.
Scene was just like... I think that's where I checked out. Honestly, I think that's where I checked out.
Psychologically.
Yeah.
You know what they were trying to do there, right? Because remember, when Leon is in the game, when Leon and Claire are driving away from the gas station...
That's what happens. Yeah, the truck... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was the callback. The
truck kind of like collides, and, you know, the truck... It tips over... And it kind of like hits Leon and Claire in the side and the car kind of goes out of control. Right. And then the truck explodes. And then that's where Leon and Claire go their separate ways. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, the truck driver loses control of the truck. It tips over in front of RPD, which is weird because in the original game, the truck tips over away from RPD.
Yeah, it's like a little away from the police station. Exactly. You have to travel there.
Yeah. So you have to weave through all the zombies to get to RPD. So that whole scene with Leon sleeping, this nigga was listening to what? Fucking Christina Aguilera or some shit? Like falling asleep to Christina falling Aguilera. Falling asleep.
Doesn't hear the whole explosion. The zombie running in there and Chief Brian, he just like shoots it in the head.
Yeah.
Like he already knew.
Irons had to shoot him.
But here's my thing. Like, it's almost as if like he already knew, like, oh yeah, he's fucked up. I got to shoot him. He's a zombie. I got to shoot him in the head. He just walked in there and was like, boom. That's it. Done.
That's it.
And I'm like, so they're trying to say that he already knew that the town was fucked up? Like, I don't understand. Like, he already knew thing was a zombie. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And first of all, right before this, when the city emergency.
He's like, oh, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, he did not know what was going on. He literally says, like, one of them, Chris, Jill, one of them asks, hey, why is the state of emergency happening?
He's like,
and then Chief's like, to be honest with you, I have no fucking idea. I don't know. I don't know why.
But then in the couple scenes afterwards, you see him shooting the zombie, right? And he packs up his stuff and he leaves. So he knows that something's going on. Because he's like, oh, Leon, Raccoon City's going to shit. I'm out. You're in charge. And he's like, what? Like, Leon? You know?
Yep. And Leon, and another thing is that Leon keeps asking this question. He keeps asking, can somebody tell me what's going on? Oh. What's going on? Like, he keeps asking the same fucking question.
It's like I feel like they didn't even have lines at some moments. Some moments they just kept saying the same thing over and over. Like Wesker, he was like apologizing. He apologized multiple times. Or that scene right there. He's like, so what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I'm in charge now. He's like literally going after Chief Brian while he's like putting his stuff in the car. He's like, oh, you're in charge. Then he's like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? I've never been in this position. I've only been here because of my father.
And he's like, sir, I really advise you not to do that. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, bro. Oh, God. Son.
It's so sad.
They really did my boy Leon dirty. And then, hold on, we ain't done. The Leon train keeps running, ladies and gentlemen. Right after that, after Chief Irons leaves, right? Claire pulls up to the police station sometime later, right? I kind of forgot how she got there. I remember she was riding in a motorcycle.
I don't even care, man. She got to the police station.
Right? She got to the fucking police station. And then they somehow make their way down to like the lower level. Mm-hmm. And you know the lower level in the Raccoon City Police Department, right?
Yeah.
Where they're keeping Ben. You see Ben, the same locked Ben. Up. Locked up in the gate. And he's like, you know, let me out of here. And it's Leon who sees him. And Ben is being like wild disrespectful to Leon, which is, you know, it kind of happened in the game too. Ben kind of has like this assertive way of speaking where he's like, hey, get me out of here, man.
You're right.
You know, You know, so that was all right. But then, like, this little fucking sewer rat, this fucking lab rat is talking to Leon like, hey, get me the fuck out of here. Get me out of here. The key is right there. He's like just cussing him out. And Leon's like, hey, man, okay, you don't have to be an asshole about it. And he's just being all like,
oh my God.
Like submissive to him
little
and shit.
Bitch.
and I'm like, you made Leon submit to the fucking lab rat?
Ow.
Are you fucking.
Oh my God.
So while Leon is getting the keys to get Ben out of there, Ben is like yelling at him and he's like saying, hey, Umbrella's gonna do this, Umbrella's gonna do that. And this nigga Ben takes his gun. He takes the handgun from Leon. He's aiming it at him. He's like, open the gate right now. Open the gate. And I'm like, oh my God.
There were so many things wrong with that scene, man.
Son. So he opens the gate, right? And mind you, in the midst of Ben trying to force Leon to open the gate, to his left, he has a cellmate.
Yeah.
And the cellmate, it looks like he's about to turn into a zombie.
Oh, my God.
So Leon opens the gate, and then the zombie gets up and bites Ben.
Like, on the neck or something. And he just dies.
And, like, just fucking, like, gorged out his Adam's apple. Like, that nigga's neck is completely gone.
Which I appreciated the gore and the blood on that.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was all right.
That was cool. But then the zombie comes after Leon, and then Leon's like, trying to fight it off. And you know the fucking the interaction, like the little quick time event when the zombie grabs you.
Right, yeah.
You have to that was fun. So they kind of did that, where it's like the zombie grabs Leon, he kicks it off.
Gotta like shake him off, yeah.
And then Claire comes down and shoots it with the shotgun. And that's it.
And
that's how the scene ends. Like, Leon is made out to be a hopeless fucking sap, and Claire has to come save him.
That's it. And then like, continue on with what I'm saying with the story, right? Ben briefly mentions, oh, you've heard of the T-virus, the G-virus? That's all you ever hear about the viruses. Literally, that's the only scene that literally explains why they're turning into. Even at the end,
he mentions it.
Even at the end, when Wesker was trying to get the other vials, the serums, they don't even mention it being the G virus or nothing, bro. They're literally like, "Oh, I got to get that case full of those vials." That's it. They don't mention that it's a T virus. They don't mention that it's the G virus, that they've been working on it, that they've been experimenting with it. Nothing, bro. Nothing. And the only scene in the movie that literally explains an iota of what's going on in the city is that scene right there where Ben is like, oh, Umbrella's been working on this thing. You heard of the G virus? You heard of the T virus? That's it. That's literally it. And it's
That's
like,
really it.
If you had no idea about what Resident Evil is, I wouldn't understand what the fuck is going on in the movie. All I would know is that, oh, they Nothing. Got poisoned by the water and that's it. That's literally what I would walk out from the scene with if I had no idea what was going on in Resident Evil.
And there's a virus going around too. So
apparently,
they put the virus in the
in
water.
In the water,
some
that's
shit.
It.
I don't fucking know. And another thing you mentioned, you know, with the whole T virus, G virus, and the vials and all that. Mind you, there is no laboratory in this movie. There is no nest.
Nothing.
There's no nest.
No
in this,
big
in this
movie. Underground. Even at the mansion, they didn't have a laboratory, and there was supposed to be a laboratory in the mansion.
I don't know that, bro. I actually don't know that.
Yeah, there was supposed to be
that's all you.
And Wesker, like, he like finds the secret passage with, oh my God, there's other things too. When Wesker plays the piano, because that's a callback to the original Resident Evil.
The way they went about that was weird too, though, right? Because Wesker just knows to play
piano.
He
just knows. Yeah. Wesker never touches the piano, and Jill was the one supposed to be playing on the piano, or rather, Chris, or whoever you play with, you know, in Resident Evil 1, they're the ones who's supposed to play the piano, you know, get the pieces and whatever. Point being is that, like, that scene was just, like, forced in there. Like, oh, yeah. And he already knew what to play because the little monitor thing he had in his hand was showing him the keys to play. While Jill is, like, I guess, so taken aback by this big library or whatever. God. And that's another thing too, that the plane crashes into the mansion, that never happened. And then
that happens in two. The plane is supposed to crash
into the police station, not the mansion. Oh my,
they crashed into the, I was like, oh God, what?
Oh my.
Okay, that is something That is an idea of creative freedom that I cannot get behind, bro. I did not appreciate that shit, man. I was like, what the fuck are you niggas doing? What are y'all doing, bro?
And there's another scene too. This was in the beginning of the movie where Wesker is eating a sandwich. And Jill takes this sandwich from him because I guess she wins the bet or whatever it is that they did with Leon. And she goes, it's a Jill sandwich now. Which, by the way, is one of the most famous line, if not the famous line of all Resident Evil. When Barry rescues Jill. And he goes, oh, you were almost a Jill sandwich. And the fact that, like, the way that they mushed that into that scene, I was like, I know they did not just do that.
I actually don't remember, bro, in the beginning,
in the beginning when they're making fun of Leon, she takes the sandwich from him and she bites into it and she goes, it's a Jill sandwich now.
And I didn't peep that.
Bro.
No, there's no way. I'm about to go back to the movie theater and watch it again just so I can see that.
Not only are they making fun of Leon in this scene, but then they butcher something else within the Resident Evil universe. And look, Resident Evil, right, has always kind of had this quirky feeling to it, right? Like the original Resident Evils, the dialogue, the statements that they make, like, oh, you were almost a Jill sandwich. It's kind of like 1990 vibes. Like Resident Evil has always been kind of little...
Right.
You get what cringy. I'm trying to say? Like, kind of cringy, exactly. Like, even Leon, with his words in Resident Evil 4, like, you know, he made his smart remark. It's always something within that in the Resident Evil universe. But in this movie, they literally crank the dial
on the cheesiness
and just, like, put it to 100. Like, just crank the dial on the cheesiness because that's what Resident Evil is. All full cheesiness.
You know what they did? The niggas went to the supermarket, right? They went to their local fine fair. They got a pack of Kraft. They took the whole pack, put it on 15 minutes, and let the cheese just melt all in the fucking microwave. They smeared it all over. That's basically what them niggas did, bro.
They might as well have done that to every Resident Evil game. Like, they just smeared cheese all over everything.
Cheese, just cheese, and not even the good kind of cheese too, bro. They took fucking Velveeta and Kraft, fake ass cheese, bro. Like they didn't take like aged cheddar or extra sharp or mild cheddar. No, they just went, got the Kraft American cheese, threw it in the microwave. Was like, here you go, guys.
Oh my god, this
is what we're serving.
They also mentioned Lisa in the movie too, which I'm glad that they put in. Yeah.
Who the fuck is Lisa?
So Lisa was from Resident Evil 1, because I don't know if you got that far into Resident Evil, but...
Oh! Is Lisa that bitch with the sandbag? With the chains.
With
the bag on her face?
Yep.
Yeah, right. Yep.
And she was in the movie.
Yeah, she knocked Jill out in the game.
Yep.
But then she winds up helping Leon and Claire in the movie.
I was just taken aback.
From the liquor.
She actually kills the liquor. I'm like, oh my
God. That was, bro. First of all, the liquor is in an entirely different game. Victor, wait, hold on. we're missing something here. We're actually overlooking a very, very basic fact here, and that is the liquor kills Chief Irons. Right? That's what happens to Chief Irons. He gets killed by a liquor.
In the movie. Yeah.
In the movie, he gets killed by a liquor. That's how he dies.
Yep.
Now, I really like, to be honest with you, you said that your favorite scene, the best scene in the movie was for you.
One of the better scenes was with Chris in he was fighting off the zombies in the dark.
Oh, yeah, that.
But he had to use the gun and the lighter to kind of like, it felt intense. Okay. It felt like a fucking zombie movie. Like,
right. Okay. No, that's your scene. So for me, my actual favorite scene in the movie, now that I think about it, now that we're talking about it, is when the liquor appears.
He's on the ceiling and yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was great.
All you see is the tongue.
Yeah.
That big ass tongue come. And
fantastic.
That was beautiful.
Beautiful.
I actually liked that scene because personally, the liquors have caused me a lot of fucking tribulation. So to see that liquor, right? And you notice Lisa's like, she like puts her finger to her lips and she's like shushing them as if to say, yeah, you know, as to, she gotta be quiet.
You gotta be quiet.
Gotta be quiet.
Good callback. Cool.
You see that tongue. You see the tongue go by, get the Chief Irons, and then next thing you know, they turn around, they see the liquor, and he jumps down, and he's like, you know, he makes that screeching
that
yell.
Screeching, yeah.
And then what do they do? What do they do right after that, Victor? What the fuck do they start doing? They start running.
They start running.
I'm like, literally, I yelled at my friend. I'm like, no, what the fuck are you doing? You're not supposed to run when there's liquor.
Like, did she not just tell you to be quiet?
Yo, I'm like, no, we're not supposed to run. Oh my God. I was so mad. I was like, yo, what the fuck? No.
Oh my God. But you know
how many times I've made that mistake and I got fucking fucked up. I got mollywopped. I was tight.
But you know,
was a good kind of it tight. That was an invested kind of tight.
But it was a good scene, though. I'll give it to it. It was a good scene when
that was the only scene.
Back to Lisa, like the original Resident Evil with Lisa's story, I loved Lisa's story because apparently, you know, she was the daughter of the guy that made the mansion and that was their first experiments. Like Umbrella's one of the Umbrella's first experiments, which in the movie they do specify, or I don't even think they specify. It's imposed that Lisa was originally an orphanage just like Claire and Chris, and she was kind of like one of their first projects or whatever it is, and she just roams the halls there. Because she knows what they're doing. I got behind that. But did you notice what Lisa handed Claire after that scene to go down into the lab?
Yeah, it was the fucking keys.
The keys, bro.
To the orphanage.
The keys.
The keys that Chief Irons had to the orphanage. Yeah.
They were the keys from the police station. The club key, the hard key. If you look at the chain,
serious?
I'm dead ass, bro. I'm dead ass. Those keys are literally the keys from Resident Evil 2.
Oh, so it's not the orphanage keys. I thought it was just the orphanage key.
No. It's literally the keys from the police station. It's all in one ring.
Dude, no way.
And that's how they got downstairs into the lab, bro.
Oh, no. What the? I am so glad I decided to talk to you about this because I did not peep that.
It was in like a ring, so you saw the heart and the club one.
But you know what? You know why I didn't peep, though? I think there was a good section of the movie where I was just on my phone.
Yeah.
Like looking on Instagram.
I mean,
I wasn't
might as well
looking
be.
At the screen. So that might have been why I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else is crazy, though?
Mm.
There was no Rebecca in this movie.
No!
There was no Rebecca, and there was no Barry.
No Rebecca.
Ain't that kind of weird?
No Barry. Who else? There was some... I know you know who was missing from this movie. And she appears at the end, bro.
Fucking... All right. Let's hold off on that. Let's hold off on that real quick. Let's wrap up, because that is, like, after credit shit.
Yeah.
Let's just wrap up. The movie as a whole right now.
What did you think of like all the whole ending scenes and stuff?
So they tried to call back to Resident Evil 2, right? Like, remember, they get in the train. You know, the final stage of the G. Stage one is when he just has the arm and the eye. Stage two is when you have to use the crane. Stage three is when you fight him in Nest.
Stage four
is when you fight him on the train with Claire.
Yeah.
And then stage five
is
when
big...
it's just a big fucking...
Yeah.
A glob of disease. Like, literally, that's what it looks like. So... that thing attacks the train as everybody's leaving. We've got Leon. We've got Jill. We've got
Sherry.
Claire. We've got Wesker. We got everybody on that bitch, right? And then, so here comes the motherfucking stage five of the G, right? So you see fucking Chris is shooting it with a handgun, doing no fucking damage, right? And Claire... it's like a pitchfork, like some kind of a knife. It's like a knife attached to a stick. I don't know what the fuck to call it. And she's like stabbing it, but it doesn't really work, you know, like how it does in the game at least. And here comes Leon, and he's like, hey, you ugly bastard. And he shoots him with the RPG. He shoots the RPG at it, and then it dies. And then they come out from the fucking train, and then that's it. That's the
end. That's how the movie ends.
Bro, that was so bad. Like, the last scene, they tried to make Leon look like a badass.
Like, hey, I did something.
All they did was make him seem awkward and flat and a tryhard. An awkward, flat tryhard.
Bro, that's exactly what that whole scene was. It was just like awkward. It was try hard. We got to get the rocket launcher in there. And oh, we got to put the train in there. And oh, let's put them all in there. And oh, don't forget this. And it's just like,
yes. They were just coming. It was just so half-assed. First of all, where the fuck did he get the rocket launcher, Victor?
It was just on the train.
Bro, like, this nigga Leon just randomly comes upon an RPG.
Like, hey,
And he just shoots it. He the same nigga that can't even operate
a shotgun,
but he can shoot an RPG. Wow. Beautiful. That, like, makes sense.
That's the whole movie in a nutshell, bro. That's not, like,
literally, bro.
Just absolutely makes no sense, man. And then after the scenes, right? A little bit into the credits, you get the scene with Wesker.
This is it. The infamous scene. Now, Victor, we gotta break this apart, bro.
Happily.
There is so much wrong with this post-credit scene. So after Umbrella levels Raccoon City, you see Wesker is down. Wesker's supposed to be dead, essentially, because, you know, he gets shot by Jill accidentally after he shoots or tries to shoot Sherry. Here comes Ada. Ada Wong in the flesh, mind you.
Ada Wong. One of the most important characters.
No interaction with Leon, mind you. Zero interaction with Leon. She pulls up on Wesker. Red flag number one. Wesker does not work for Ada. Works for Wesker. All right? Wesker is the boss. All right? Ada works for Wesker.
Bro.
Ada was a mercenary at first, right? She was just a little mercenary.
The backstory is that she was already working for an organization as well when she got to Raccoon City. Now, it is not clear if she was working for the same organization that was contacting Wesker. We don't know that for facts, but they are working for different organizations. Apparently, that's what they make it seem. They make it seem like in this ending credit where it's like Ada's like this mysterious figure and she's working. She was the one that was sending Wesker the messages or something like that. Like, there was like behind the scene operations.
I thought I was dead. Ada was like, you were dead, but now you're alive or some shit. I'm just like, oh, God.
Bro, let me tell you something about this scene. You know, you saw the glasses? Because you know how Wesker is famous for these shades, man. Like, that's part of Wesker's character, bro. These shades, these glasses, they look like they just got them out of a Happy Meal and was like, we got to use this as prop. Literally handing him these fake-ass, doofy-ass looking glasses. So she's like, put these on. It'll help. And then she explains to him, like, you know, he was dead. And this is going to emphasize that, oh, they gave him the powers that Wesker got at the end of the original Resident Evil 1 by infecting himself with some kind of strain of some virus.
That happens off screen, right? Because I didn't see Wesker. Like, I remember he got shot by Jill, and he's dying, and then he wakes up, and now he has the virus. Like, I don't really...
Yeah, that happens off screen from the original Resident Evil. Now, there is a game called Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, right? It's an on-rail shooter. It's a decent game. So, basically, they tell you what happens to Wesker when they leave the lab and the mansion explodes. Wesker, before any of that happened, before he got shot or killed or whatever it was in the first one, because he gets impaled by the tyrant in the game, he's presented dead. Wesker's presented dead. And then you escape, you use the rocket launcher, you destroy the tyrant, and you get on the helicopter and you leave with Chris or Jill, whoever you're playing with. But in Umbrella Chronicle, they explain that Wesker took a strain of a virus before any of that happened. When they leave, Wesker wakes up because you're supposed to die, in a sense, I guess, so that the virus can activate within you.
Right.
So that's how Wesker gets up. I can link you some of the scenes from the game. It'll explain everything as to how he got his powers. So basically, Wesker escapes the mansion with these new powers. And then that's when he begins his other quest. In the movie, apparently, I guess, Ada or Umbrella or whoever brought him back to life. They don't explain how. They just say that they brought him back to life.
And they don't.
That the eye things is a side effect. And that you have to wear shades now. And that was it. And he goes like, who are you? And she goes, I'm Ada Wong. Right? I think that's how the scene
ends.
She says,
I'm Ada Wong. And, you know, they try to make it seem like, oh, yeah. Yeah, the long-awaited destruction of the animal. Like, shut the fuck up.
Bro,
Jesus.
I ended up just walking out that scene. I was like, I don't know what I watched.
And what's crazy is, so the friend that I saw it with, he doesn't really know Resident Evil like that. He knows some things, but he's not really an enthusiast like, say, you. But mm-hmm. he has a friend who he wanted to bring with him that he would have been able to recognize a lot of shit.
Yeah.
He's probably just like you. I never met this friend of his, but he wanted to bring him because he's a huge Resident Evil fan. He probably could have shed some light on it for me too, but I'm glad he didn't actually come see the movie with us, because he probably would have felt like you.
It was terrible, bro. And like, I really thought it wasn't going to be this bad, but it was just beyond bad. And there was other things sprinkled throughout the movie too. I saw it mentioned like a first aid spray. There was like a poster of it in the beginning of the movie. There was some other stuff in it too.
I didn't see that.
But man,
I actually didn't see that.
It's,
dude, I went on the IMDb app because I have an IMDb account, and I added it to my watch list, the Resident Evil, and I rated it a 1 out of 10.
You know what we should do, bro? I want to get this movie on Blu-ray, and I just want to sit there.
Yes.
And just watch
it. Ass.
And just cut ass off on the whole thing. I'll even pull out some beers or whatever it is. I'll just sit there with you, bro, and we'll just watch and laugh.
We have to. And you know what? We should probably like make that a YouTube video. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh, that's perfect. Oh, that is fantastic. Ooh, get a camera going.
Let's make that a YouTube video.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know, like with a podcast, you know, it's mostly just like conversation or whatever.
Yeah.
But a talk show is like, oof. You know, you actually have behind the scenes footage and it's more interactive.
Yeah, you can see the expressions and stuff, bro. You know?
Yeah.
I think we could, bro. Yo, we could start some shit, man. We could really start some shit.
Yo, 100. So you know what? As soon as that shit comes out on Blu-ray, because you know this shit is going straight to DVD after a while. Ain't nobody coming to watch this shit. To be honest with you, December 9th, 2 days ago when I saw it, that was the last day I could see it in theaters. Because after that, I don't see any more showtimes for it. So I think that was it. Like, it had a short stint in the theaters and they took it out. Probably because nobody would have fucking watched that shit.
Garbage.
That disgusting garbage.
Oh,
an abomination.
Of what Resident Evil is. Oh, it was supposed to be a present to us? It was a piece of garbage. It was a slap in the face. I'm sorry.
An utter shame. Like, yo, these niggas should be ashamed. Who's the director? I'm about to email this dude.
I'm about to blow this guy's house or something.
Okay, the director's name is Johannes Roberts.
Johannes.
And the writers are Johannes Roberts. He's the screenplay writer, and he also wrote the story. And he's the director.
Who is this man?
I don't know who the fuck this nigga is, bro. Who the fuck is this nigga, bro?
Oh, man. You know, I want to close it off there, man. I really appreciate you for being on this episode.
That's
just getting
fact.
It all out. I've been waiting.
Yo, and you told me. You were like, yo, let me know when you see the movie.
Yeah, because I didn't want to say nothing. I was holding it in, bro.
Nah, you told me it was trash.
Yeah, yeah.
You told me it was trash. You didn't tell me why, but you told me it was trash.
Oh,
so
my
I was
God.
Already like, Victor doesn't like you, but Victor's also kind of an enthusiast. You know,
yeah,
he's very
exactly.
Much
so I'm very like biased. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, maybe I don't have to take his opinion too seriously, but then, holy, as soon as I saw what they did to Leon, I already
checked
so
out.
You psychologically checked out when Leon was listening to the music.
Yeah, that whole
while
scene.
The fucking truck.
That whole
crashed.
Scene. I was just like, I'm right. Done. My spirit left. Like, it just walked out the theater.
Yeah, man. Like, your entire soul energy was depleted at that point. Like,
gone.
Your zen was taken from you. For me, when they pranked Leon in the bar, that was when I checked out.
Yeah.
I checked out from there. I was like,
so sad.
They trying to make this nigga seem like a bitch? Oh, hell no. And that was it.
That's it. You walked out. Like, nope.
That was it. I psychologically walked out. And mind you guys, like I said in the previous episode that we did, Leon is my favorite character.
He's my favorite character.
In Resident
too,
Evil.
Bro, Leon Scott Kennedy, man. They butchered our boy.
And they butchered me, nigga. Ow, nigga.
Oh my
How
god.
How dare they? Motherfuckers, man. Yo, let's leave it at that. Bro, I think we gotta leave it at that.
Bro, you know what else, too? After this, I'm gonna go play Resident Evil 2. I'm gonna go play Resident Evil 2.
Oh, I made me want to. It made me want to.
Yo, I'm gonna go and just.
It definitely did, bro. It made me want to go home and put that shit off. I can reinstall it and just play Leon's story.
Just wash away everything that movie was and just like, like this is Resident Evil. Okay.
Cleanse. Oh, yes. I feel whole again. Like, yo. Oh,
bro. But yo.
Oh, man.
We're going to close out the episode there. If you guys, again, we've mentioned it before. If you guys haven't checked out that other episode, us talking about the Resident Evil universe, all the mainline games, you can check that one out. I'm so glad Elijah, Mr. Mairu, got to be back on the show, man. Co-host. I'm calling you co-host from now on, man. This is it. This is official. This is official. We're doing this. We got a lot of stuff coming. I want to do that whole YouTube thing too, man. Let's get it out there. Let's do something.
No, we have to. Yo, if you ever come down to New York, or if I wind up going to Florida,
for sure. Make it a thing. For sure, man.
We gotta make it a thing. I'm gonna let you know when I get the movie, or you let me know when you get the movie.
That's
on
Blu-ray. Day one.
We're gonna do this shit. I'm gonna be on the lookout. I'm literally gonna show you the receipt when I get that shit. I'm like, yo, listen, nigga, that shit is coming in 2 days. We out.
Let's do it. But yo, guys.
Yeah, man.
Catch everyone on the next episode of Infinite Weekly. As always, I want you guys to stay healthy, stay safe, and stay infinite.
Infinite. But do not stay for Resident Evil. Welcome to Raccoon.
Don't stay. Go,
run. Don't stay for that. Don't stay. Run away. Run away. Run.